Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, how is it going? How's it hanging? How's it banging? How is it slinging there? Buds? Buds? Bud? How you doing there, bud? Bud?
Hello, what have we here?
Doing yes. All right myself.
All right, doing all right yourself there, bud? Is bud going to be the new trigger sign, trigger word for everything? Bud? All right, anyway, All right, it's already chaotic as hell, but big week. It feels like Charlie. Maybe we should give AEW more credit and the wrestling world in general more credit than we do sometimes. But like, oftentimes there's complaining about there's like 75 months between these events, and like WWE does one every month, so it feels overcrowded over there. So there's no like break if you follow WWE, but if you watch anything that's not WWE, then like you just feel starved for content. But like, it's really not like that. Like, I feel like it's been like, what, 3-4 weeks ago that we just had another major show. We're going to have another one 2 weeks after this other show or something like that. You know what I mean? Like 3 weeks after that show or something. Like, we're going to have a tight summer. So it's going to get really crazy. And this is a perfect example. We just reviewed a New Japan show like, what, last week? Or was that a week before? Like, whatever it was. You know, we're going to review more. Week. We got the G1 coming up, so that'll be pretty heavy coverage until, you know, we're going to have the G1. Will G1 be, it won't line up at the same time as Owen Hart will.
No, I think Owen Hart will be like a couple weeks before that.
We're going to be running from that tournament straight into the G1. So it's going to be like,
yeah,
our coverage is going to be tight for a while. The summer is going to be crazy, like we said earlier this year. And starting off with this coming week, after this week, we're going to be having Collision. So, you know, I guess get ready for that. Get hyped for that. This is the last week of the sort of, I don't know, what do you want to call it? The in-between style of coverage that we have between when there was a dark for us to cover still.
Yeah.
To where Ring of Honor became the primary other thing. And we kind of leaned on, thankfully, there's been so much good New Japan to talk about that we've kind of gotten away with it. But we were kind of a little worried when they just suddenly canceled dark. And we were like, what? That's like 20% of our show right there. Like, what?
Yeah, we're back to, now we got 5 hours of televised AEW plus the 2 hours of Ring of Honor a week. So we're gonna have fully loaded fucking content. It's gonna be pretty cool.
Headshot.
Absolutely headshot. But anyway, so before we get into everything else though, I mean there's so much nonsense going on. But something that me and you have been doing recently, I just think it'd be cool to share with the audience is we've been finally delving into the world I shouldn't say into the world of Ice Fire, but I guess that's a good way to put it. Me and you have been reading through, well, I've been reading and you've been listening on audio to a lot of George R. R. Martin stuff recently. Because, like, talk about content starved. We got a while before the next season of House of the Dragon, so, especially with the writer's strike. So, like,
every
little
crumb that comes out, I'm just, like, fucking fiending for
it. So I started to finally, because you got me so hyped about it, that I finally started to read it. And I read through, like, 700 pages of a book in, like, what, a week or something like that? Like
something like that, yeah.
And somehow managed to retain the information. Like, me and you have had, like, in-depth conversations about this. Like, you've listened to that, like, probably, what, 3 or 4 times now? But I've only read through it once, and somehow I retained it.
Yeah, I've listened from Jaharis up, I think, pretty much 4 times. Some of it 4, all of it 3.
And now convinced Charlie that we should go through the entire actual Ice and Fire series instead of just like the history book we were reading, Fire and Blood. So I guess we're going to be stuck on that probably for like, what, the next 3 months or something, probably, or something.
Yeah, we got that. That's going to be fun to come.
I was going to read Dune. I was actually going to be the next book I was going to read because I saw Dune the movie finally. But after reading Fire and Blood, there's just so many things that are already like, I'm already noticing in the main series when they come up. I'm just like, ah, because I know a thing from Fire and Blood, you know, like,
yeah.
Anyway, so just
tie it all together.
Yeah, in case anybody's curious what we've been doing that's not wrestling related, that we've also been playing the new Fortnite season looks really interesting. I mean, we played it a little bit, got 4 dubs in a row. The game didn't count any of them because, of course, you know.
fucking literally.
And yeah, so that's you know, obviously you guys can check me out over on Twitch at twitch.tv/thedukeofherbs. Occasionally I get Charlie to get on and play with me when I'm streaming. Occasionally. Sometimes, you know. But, you know, if you want him on there more, tweet at him, I guess. But, you know, but yeah, no. Before we get into the rest of the stuff, let me just let you guys know that you can follow me on Twitter at BaneDuke. That's BaneDuke, as well as Charlie at OCharlie with an X instead of an A. You can also follow the podcast at Eat Sleep Elite on Twitter. And we make sure you go ahead and hit us over there. Shout out to the people that messaged in and talked about, you know, the Ring of Honor crew. If you follow this podcast specifically for Ring of Honor, first of all, shout out to you. That's really cool. Second of all, I mean, that's pretty cool. I honestly haven't seen a lot of other shows that cover the Ring of Honor that's going on right now either. So I think it's kind of cool if people start to, because I was saying to you, Charlie, offline, that I think it's a good chance that people will see what Athena's doing and what maybe even what Stu Grayson's doing right now and a few others. And they'll
seek it out.
Yeah, I think so. Cool, especially Zack Sabre being there like the last 4 weeks in a row or something. I think that really has helped to make some people look at it that wouldn't have been there. And he's been doing good stuff too. They're not just like misusing him.
That, you know, maybe people were big fans of Cesaro and WWE, and they're like, they're hearing about him outside. They're like,
he has a fan base of people that follow him from all the way back in like 2010 when he signed with WWE, 2012, something like that, sometime around there when he signed
with WWE. Plus the whole video game realm with Xavier Woods. So
oh yeah, I didn't even think about those people. Yeah, he was big on there, so that's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
maybe bringing in some new fans and checking out some more wrestling, because the more the merrier.
Absolutely. So, and then also, just if you want to join our community over there, you know, because that's kind of like, so those like cool couple of messages that we got this week, that's kind of what we're trying to build over there, is that sort of community style of wrestling community. Because I honestly, all online wrestling communities, they fucking suck. I'm sorry, I love some of the people that do the shows that they build around, but most of the communities themselves are fucking dog shit, you know, like, I'm just saying, you know, like, they're just full of a bunch of angry wrestling fans that never like anything. And, you know, if they listen to our podcast, they'd think we were crazy, because they'd be like, oh, how do you like everything in AEW? AEW is trash or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, fucking fedheads. But, you know, and yeah, so, I mean, other stuff we're going to talk about, I'll just preview this because it's going to be probably a pretty significant part of the show, I think. We're going to talk about the G1 for a little while during news. I don't know why I couldn't think of it during news. I wanted to call it notes. But yeah, this is the last week before Collision, y'all. I mean, so first of all, let's just talk about that. That should be, so I usually like to have a little, like, what would you call this? The opening, like, 10 minutes of the show, I like to have us, like, a little topic discussion that's completely
separate from everything else. It's the gathering around the water cooler, right?
But absolutely, yeah.
You're right. The last week before Collision, we were kind of joking earlier, like, oh, is this, are we getting the beginning stages before the dance? I mean, maybe. But
yeah, no, I was making that joke about the Dance of the Dragons, yeah, because it feels like the sides are forming, and we know what the one on Collision looks like. We have an idea probably what the other one's going to look like, you know?
My hope right now is, and maybe we're going to jump into next week's card, because we pretty much have all of Dynamite. We're getting back to getting all of Dynamite after Rampage. We need to be doing that again.
Rampage, baby.
You know, we're kind of Dynamite looks incredible. So if we can, if Collision being here spawns more great Dynamites and great Collisions, that can only do create great stuff that catches people's eyes and gets people more into it. I think
fuck the WWE mentality. Let them both be the A show.
Oh yeah, no, and we already kind of see with the graphics. I think they're going to be presented a little bit differently. You know how Dynamite always starts with people in the ring? Maybe Collision doesn't. Maybe Collision starts with a CM Punk.
I mean, with CM Punk
as
like one of your main guys that can help creatively.
Yeah.
And Bryan Danielson potentially helping with that show as well, I'm sure. Because I'm sure.
Just like how Rampage has its thing with the main event. Collision's going to have its own thing. What's that going to be? I don't know. We don't know the commentary for Collision.
Is it
going to
be CM Punk on commentary? That would be cool.
The fact that we don't know commentary yet, it kind of gets me a little excited. But I'm also, there's that part of me that's a little
I would
nervous.
Accept Kevin Kelly as one of the commentators at this point. Just him, though. I don't want anyone else from New Japan.
I think Kevin and Caprice makes a lot of sense. Maybe Kevin and Nigel. I got a feeling
or
Caprice
Kevin, Nigel,
is going to be on
this. Dude, there's a good dynamic there, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Caprice kind of was giving some hints. I feel like maybe Caprice is on it. But yeah, if we get Kevin Kelly, obviously that's going to be fucking cool. I don't know. What about you? For hype level, I'm probably at like a good 8 out of 10. Like, I'm ready for Collision to be here.
I'm at a 10 out of 10 because I want CM Punk back.
Yes, yes. For CM Punk, 10 out of 10. But, yeah.
But for Collision as a whole, I mean, I'm excited to see what they do with it. I wish we had gotten, like, an announcement. I feel like the commentary team should be an announcement before that. Maybe that'll be this week. Maybe they'll be like, here's your commentators for Collision. I don't think that'll happen, though, you know? So, unless they do that. But, you know, I don't think they will. But
I think they're going to announce it on Dynamite.
Oh, who the commentators will be? Maybe. I mean, it could be
maybe
cool.
Maybe we'll introduce them. Maybe it'll be new
I'd be okay with that. I just don't know if they will. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing AEW would do necessarily, you know what I mean? It just feels a little too formal, you know? If because TK just doesn't come out to talk, you know what I mean? Unless it's something big, you know what I mean? Or something important to, like, he's a bit like, we'll talk about.
For all we know, there could be a press release in 30 minutes.
I kind of hope that happens. That way we can at least talk about it because the podcast will still be going by then, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, other than that, though, I guess the important thing to know will be that how we used to do before, where I would cover Dark Elevation and Charlie would cover Dark, I'm gonna mostly be covering Collision. I mean, we're both gonna watch both shows, obviously.
Oh, but, yeah.
But and Ring of Honor and Charlie will be still covering Dynamite and Rampage, and we've talked about this before, but just to give everybody the rundown of what it's gonna be like when we get there, you know, because Collision is obviously gonna change the dynamic of the show quite a bit. I imagine maybe we'll even add like 15 more minutes to the already ridiculously long show. You know.
Yeah, I think Collision's gonna clean it out to a probably a solid. It's gonna be over 90 minutes each time now.
Yeah, I think sometimes we manage to get under there. Just when it's a weird week of slow, not necessarily as important stuff. Post pay per view sometimes are like that for AEW, you know, or like the week before pay per view or something, you know. But I think we'll have a lot more to talk about now. I mean, there'll be weeks where some crazy shit happens on Dynamite and some crazy shit happens on Collision, and it makes AEW just look awesome, you know. Like, and there'll be weeks where they're both kind of, you know, like.
I'm very excited, actually. I'm ready for the internal fucking Dynamite.
Well, I'm just
Collision.
Saying, there's going to be a week where both Dynamite and Collision are kind of like, you know, okay, you know. And we're just like, by the end of the week, we're like, what? When is AEW starting this week?
Wave my Rampage flag, dude. Come on.
This is Rampage, baby.
But
where are my Ring of Con enjoyers?
Ring of Con, yes. But yeah, so as you guys know, what we like to do around here, we like to start off with our favorites. It's an even number episode. Therefore, I am taking the lead here. Again, I think we had some pretty good matches on Dynamite. But I'm going with the Texas Tornado match. So we had Jack Perry and FTW champion Hook take on a defeat LFI, which was Preston Vance and Jalisco. I posted a tweet this week on our Twitter kind of talking about Jalisco has been someone that's been catching our eyes a lot. And we're going to get into it during Ring of Honor, but I think he had the best Ring of Honor match as well. He's on fucking fire. He's getting an opportunity. He's taking advantage every single time he's in that position. So here's the thing. Preston Vance is kind of the story of this match, right? He's bleeding all over Hook. Hook, I don't believe Hook was cut open, but Preston Vance is gushing on him, like literally gushing on him. As you'd expect, LFI jumped Perry on the ramp. Beat him up in the entrance. There's cable cords in the ring. Vance is beating Hook ringside with a chain. That's where he ends up getting cut open. Hook low bridge. They're brawling into the crowd. Side note, I'm loving this side of Hook. About a month ago, we were petitioning pretty hard. Like, let's get Hook back in the flow here. You know? We felt him lose his pop a little bit on Dark. And, you know, it's like, damn, did they miss completely on Hook? Some genuine concern happened. Someone back there fucking, they felt the same way. Because next thing you know, Hook's involved with the Firm Deletion. And now he's back in Jungle Hook. And in my opinion, put on the best match this week. Put on my favorite match this week, I should say. So Perry ends up choking him out, choking out Jalisco with the cord. And then he rips the mask to a point where I actually thought they were going to run an angle where they take off his mask. It was like his face was basically fully out for a second. And yeah, but what were you about to say?
Oh, I was just going to say for Hook, I kind of agree with you. Like, that's what I was saying for a little while. I feel like they just missed on Hook. Like you said, like there was a time when maybe he could have worked, and I'm not saying that he won't work now or that, but I think when him and Jungle Boy were together, there was a little bit of like, not, I think, as much energy, but the crowd really liked that team, you know? And I was thinking about this when I was seeing them on my screen during this match. Them, they're two really young, really yes. good-looking dudes who are technically second, you know, second generation, I'm not going to say entertainers since Jungle Boy's dad wasn't a wrestler, but you know what I mean? Like, at least second generation entertainers, though, you know what I mean? Who
yeah.
have kind of been overlooked recently, you know what I mean? Like, Jungle Boy, for all intents and purposes, like I said, kind of until this Four Pillars thing was really not doing shit until Christian Cage came back, which is really sad for him and a really big indictment on how much they see in him, you know? Like, so, not to shit on Jungle Boy when he was just in one of the best main events we've had all year, but, I mean, yeah. like, it's, you know, like, I can't not sit here and acknowledge that this is something that needed to happen a while ago. And you know, I'm a little concerned though, Charlie, that I think they may not still be together after this. I think this is a like limited time thing probably.
Yeah, I hope not. But yeah, so we hit to that commercial break, you know, the brawling still going on. We come back, Jalisco hits this beautiful double stomp on Jack, who was tied up in the ropes. Hook leaps off the barricades, he pops Preston with a chain wrapped punch, and that you know, at this point, Preston just, he's bleeding all over the place. It's pretty fucking metal. I don't know if it was intended with how quick it happened. Perry, you know, he tries to hit a dive, but Preston catches him. Jalisco falls with a leap off the top to the floor. They got two tables set up ringside. Hook fought off a double choke slam, hit an overhead throw on Jalisco, and then his mask is like still ripped all over the place. Preston then hits a discus lariat on Hook, and if you guys have not seen the gif of this, do yourself a favor. It is a fucking heat-seeking missile. Preston Vance, we've covered before, just, you know, one of the Nightmare Academy trainees. He is just a professional wrestler, and he's fucking great at it. And it's little things like that. The way he hit Hook, I thought he killed Hook for a second. He then wraps the chain around the neck. He goes to the apron.
Dude, can you imagine if they had never taken Preston's mask off?
Oh, no, yeah. No, I'm so glad. But they get to the apron. Perry hits a chair shot to the head on Preston. Hook then hit a T-bone suplex off the apron through the tables as Perry spiked Jalisco with a DDT in the ring. Jose jumps in, he's ripping off his shirt. He's hulking up, and then he gets choked out by the Red Room. Perry hit the snare trap on Jalisco, and Jungle Hook got the double tap for the victory. I got to tell you, I thought this benefited all four guys. And that's something, you know, if we're going to do these, you know, little one-off two-week feuds, like it seems like this might be, they've set it up last week, maybe ended it this week, because I don't know where you go from here. You know, if we're going to do a little two-week feud, have everyone come out of it looking great. And even Jose got a little reaction from hulking up, you know, he's always going to get that reaction. So, yeah, but that was it for me, for my favorite this week. Again, LFI, I think, is on between Ring of Honor and AEW and Andrade returning next week at Collision. LFI stock is rising. And we got some news about an LFI member coming up here shortly. But that being said, what was your favorite this week in our kind of a loaded up dynamite here?
Yeah. Excuse me. I was you know, I'm not going to surprise anybody here. I think that the last like 26 weeks in a row or something like that, it's been the same thing for me, you know, like and maybe not every single week, but just about every other week. And it's been very few. I don't think there's ever been 2 weeks in a row where I haven't gone back to Orange Cassidy as my favorite every week. It's funny. If you go back to season one of this podcast, episode one, I fucking hated this guy. It's awesome. Like, do you remember this, Charlie? I hated Orange Cassidy. I thought he ruined the wrestling business.
You not being a fan of him, but hey.
And I didn't understand why the crowd liked him. Like, I was talking shit about the fans because I was like, you guys are idiots for liking this, you know? And I was the idiot for not liking it. That's what I realized. So, yeah, Orange Cassidy took on Swerve Strickland for the AEW International Championship. And I decided something finally about Orange Cassidy. And I'm not going to be the first person to ever say this, but what Orange Cassidy is, he's like a really, really good sound technical wrestler wrapped in a ridiculously good gimmick. It has no business being that good. Like, it has no business being as good as it is. And it's simple, but man, it fucking hits home for a lot of people. Because there's a lot of us out there that, though we do try our hardest, there's like that feeling within you that you just want to be like Orange Cassidy and just be so goddamn cool that it doesn't matter if you try. You're just going to succeed no matter what because you're just that cool, you know? Like, on top of that, within that bit of his gimmick, it's also like sort of a and I've said this before, it's sort of like a not even in like the tongue-in-cheek way, it's a literal like metaphor for like how the wrestling business is and like how little it actually takes to be good at wrestling, like how much everything that he does that's important, like, okay, so I guess the way maybe to put it would be everything that Orange Cassidy does that's good, you don't even notice because everything else that he does on top of that is also just so mesmerizing and good and looks like you could assume that he's very much like the person that he portrays himself, but he's obviously the opposite because of how proficient he is at just everything. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the guy fuck anything up. I don't think it's ever been a botch that I've seen from Orange Cassidy. I don't think I've ever seen him not be in the right place or mistime something. He's just like exactly what I want out of a wrestler. He's perfect and everybody gets it and buys into it. It's simple enough that everybody can get into it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he's still obviously really talented on top of that.
And when it comes to making his partner in the ring look great as well, he fucking does it every single match. Every single time, you know?
Yeah, 100%. The pace of this match to me, I felt like it built up really perfectly. He's still holding on. Orange Cassidy does retain here. I don't know that we're done here, though. I think Swerve will probably be going after this for a little while, and maybe we'll end up winning it eventually, but it depends on what they decide to do with it. But I thought they both sold the shit out of each other's moves, too. I want to see this match in, like, a 30-minute pay-per-view match now, because this match could be, like, we didn't, you know, this match was good, but we didn't get to see everything they could do. If you've seen enough matches from either guy, you know that, you know? So I'd like to see if you could fully unleash the beasts, what this match would look like. I'm very curious, but, Charlie, what did you think of this match?
I thought it was absolutely incredible. Title defense number 24 for Orange Cassidy. He survived by the skin of his teeth. Swerve. I'll be honest here. I when I watch a wrestling match, I pick a person to root for. I was rooting for Swerve to win this. He was my guy. I was rooting for him. I almost felt like I was betraying Orange Cassidy by rooting for him, but when he hit...
Traitor.
I believe it was the double stomp off the top ropes. I thought he had it. I thought it was over. And it didn't end up being the case, but holy shit, did these guys fucking... It worked so well. And I'm with you. I think Cassidy putting this belt up at Forbidden Door in 2 weeks, you know? 2 weeks, by the way. Let's just... Holy shit. But putting this belt up on Forbidden Door makes a lot of sense. And I'm thinking this time next week when we're doing Eat Sleep Elite, we're going to have some more matches established. Plus probably, God, I mean, with Collision, he's going to have such an opportunity to get so much news in, you know? So.
I mean, absolutely. I think... Yeah, I honestly don't know what the direction for Cassidy is going to be going. Because, like, it's weird because Collision, I think, it's weird. I don't know if they'd always planned Collision to start right before Forbidden Door. Like, I don't know if that was the plan or not. If it was, then that's really weird because there must be some plan. Now, this is what I suspect, Charlie, is that there is some plan that involves all these. It's going to, like, make the story make sense. But it's not going to be clear to us on the way to it because it's going to be revealed slowly over time to build the anticipation. Which means, great, we're going to have angry internet fans from the Fed being like, look at how dumb this is. They can't even do their first Collision week right. And then they didn't even do Forbidden Door build right because they had to wait till the last 2 weeks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be that, but we can just ignore that, I guess.
Yeah, and
you know?
I think I think the second episode of Collision, I'm not 100% on this. I think it is in Canada. So we'll have that going for us, too, which would be kind of fucking cool. Yeah, sorry about that. I had someone walk in for a second. But, okay, we'll move on to our news for the week here. We've got some fun stuff to talk about for news.
I like those odds.
So we open up here where Santana has teased a return. Is there a chance it's not in AEW, though? Seems to be the talk of the town.
Maybe.
Some people think he's done.
That was the rumor when he suddenly disappeared, and Santana and Ortiz as a tag team just sort of broke up, and nobody really acknowledged it why. And from what I understood, they did not like each other that much, which is weird because they were tied together before they came to AEW, I think, weren't they? Or were they not?
They were tied since 2012 is when they began teaming with each other.
So maybe they just grew apart. It could. It does happen to people sometimes. I mean, yeah, who knows?
It does. I'm going to be sad we never get the singles the tag team championship run, because it felt like it was always going to happen. Just timing just never worked out.
That might have been why. Maybe they just didn't think that together they could win it. Yeah, that's possible.
So, speaking of Forbidden Door, Kenta has been on Twitter. People have been asking him about Forbidden Door. Fightful had reported that Kenta versus CM Punk had been discussed. Kenta quoted and said, "Give me the bag." He wants to be paid. He said, "I don't really care who's the original GTS. There's only one truth. If you want me to have a match against Punk, give me the correct amount of money. Other than that, I don't need to have this match. Seriously." And then he wrote again, "It depends on money." I think they're going to get this match done. It just makes, I mean, but here's the thing. I think we're also fine if we do Punk Tanahashi, right? Or if we do CMFTR.
That was supposed to be the match last year, so if they decide to do that, that would be great.
Fuck it, CMFTR versus House of Evil. Or House of Torture.
Hey, I mean, there's some good people in House of Torture. You can make that work.
Give me show. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Forbidden show, bro.
Come forbidden on. Show. So, the AEW seamstress, Sandra Gray, has retired. She worked for WWE, WCW. She started working with AEW in 2019. She's one of the best in the business when it came to this, and she's announced her retirement. So, I guess congrats to her for such a successful and long career when it comes to this. Because, you know, and she to this
day... It
can't
be an easy thing to keep that job for that long because there's so many people that can do what you can do. You know what I mean? But you have to be pretty good and pretty consistently good, I feel like, to keep that job for that long.
And I don't know the date of this... But I don't know if this was when Cody went to WWE or what, but it sounds like that's pretty much the only gear she's going to make from here on out. So maybe she'll just have some gear for Cody just while she's at home. Maybe when she gets bored and she gets that creative itch or, you know.
That's not a terrible way for her to spend, I'm not going to call them her twilight years because she's probably not that old. But you know what I'm saying? Like the retired life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would be just doing the same thing, but not doing it as a job and doing it for somebody who's going to, you know, just doing it for somebody who's at this point probably doesn't want to go to somebody else for their gear, you know, and Cody, you know what I mean? Like,
I always thought she was so nice on Sammy. I love her
on Sammy's vlogs. She seems like she's the most supportive. Like she like always is giving them like compliments and she loves Sammy. You know what I mean? Like she probably is like that with everybody, but she loves Sammy.
You talk about
like,
someone who's got some great gear.
Oh, yeah, Sammy's gear always looks fantastic. I wonder where he's going to have to go. I hope his gear doesn't take, like, a dive now that she's not making it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure they'll be fine. I'm sure there was somebody put in place that knows what they're doing. But it's at the same time, it's like, if the gear starts to look like shit, we know why. You know, for the people that don't, like, do it themselves, like, you know, your Athenas or your whoever, you know what I mean?
And if, so our next little bit here, if you heard the words, fuck Hulk Hogan at some point this week, it's because the Iron Sheik passed away at 81 years old. It was revealed on his Twitter account from his family. So, former WWE Hall of Famer. So, you know, he NWA Hall of Fame, the Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Hilarious posts on Twitter. Like,
yeah.
Just absolutely hilarious. If you ever wanted to have a fun time, go through Sheik's Twitter. Like, goddamn.
So, yeah. Want to make sure we cover that. And I think a little more collision stuff here before we get into the G1. If you're in Canada, which I know we actually get a lot of you guys out of Canada, so thanks for checking us out, by the way, our Canadian...
Canada Bud,
good brothers. Collision's going to be streaming on TSN Plus, and that's pretty fucking cool. I only ever know of TSN when I'm trying to watch some hockey games, and it's streaming on TSN Plus. So I don't know if that's a streaming version of it, if that's a network version of it, but... Hey,
if you're in Canada, let us know if everyone makes fun of the town Regina the same way we do here when they live there.
Regina. Shout out
Regina Bud.
Gotta watch some Saskatoon Blades fucking footage too there, bud. You know what I'm saying? Nah, come on, Chiefle.
Get eating that goom JHL there, bud. Bye.
All right. I think it's time. Let's hit this New Japan stuff. We got the blocks announced for the G1. I'm going to reveal all the blocks and then we're going to give just our little predictions on the winners, because it's fun to do. And maybe you guys at home can follow along. And I'll be straight up honest about these blocks, okay? I'm not going to pull any punches. So the A block, we got Sonata. We got Chase Owens. We got Hikuleo. We got Ren Narita, Shota Umino, Yoda Tsuji, Gabe Kidd, and Kaito Kiyomiya. I think all in all, I like the block. There's two wrestlers I'm not the biggest fan of, and Chase Owens and Hikuleo. But even Chase Owens, when he was in block with Tomohiro Ishii, best match I've ever seen with him was in the G1. But so that's the A block. B block, we got Kazuchika Okada, Yoshihashi, Taichi, Kenta, Great O'Khan, Will Ospreay, Tonga Loa, and El Phantasmo. Any block that's got Will Ospreay, Taichi, and Okada in it, yeah, I'm a fan. And I'm becoming more of a fan of ELP every single time we see him. Whew, C block. Okay. David Finlay, Tomohiro Ishii, Evil, Tama Tonga, Shingo Takagi, Aaron Hanare, Eddie Kingston, Mikey Nichols. I think Shingo, Eddie, Tomohiro, and Aaron Hanare, I like all four of them. I'm going to need the other four to prove something. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I think we mentioned even last week, this is big for David. David Finlay is going to be on Forbidden Door. He's going to have a pay-per-view match. He needs to be good in that match. He needs to be good in the G1 climax. He is getting slammed as the Bullet Club leader right now, because every single match that he's joined has been a stinker. Even the match against Sonata at the New Japan Cup, it was not perceived well. And D-Block, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Tetsuya Naito, Hiroki Goto, Zack Sabre Jr., Toru Yano, Jeff Cobb, Shane Haste, Alex Coughlin. I think that lineup is fucking brilliant. Toru Yano, he's not my favorite cup of tea, but he's up there with seven good wrestlers. He's going to be fine. Toru Yano, most notably, first one to beat Jon Moxley in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I'll give everybody that was paying attention to our Super Juniors covers a comp for Yano. Ryusuke Taguchi was not probably in your head like going to be somebody that was going to stand out in that tournament, and he did. So, you know.
Yeah. So, I think let's give some predictions. So, for A-Block, I can't help myself with New Japan, and you know this. I got to imagine the champions winning. So, I have Sonata winning the A-Block. And who do you got in the A? And any opinions on the blocks,
see,
by the way?
This is what you'll get the contrast here, because Charlie's going with the thing that he thinks makes the sense. I'm going to go with the thing that I want to happen. I got Shooter winning Block A.
I would love that. Absolutely love that. So B-Block, you know, to me, it's either Will Ospreay or Kazuchika Okada. I think I've been going back and forth, but God damn it. It's got to be Will Ospreay. It has to be.
It does not.
I think it's time we move on. Who do you got?
I got Taichi winning.
Okay. He is the KOPW champ. He is the current Just Five guys. Okay. C block. I got Shingo Takagi.
We're in agreement on that. Shingo's
that's who
winning.
I want to win. That's who I think's winning. I mean, it's both there.
It's Shingo. It's Shingo. It's Shingo. Yeah.
In a dream world, maybe Eddie, but no. D block. God, this one's really good, but Tanahashi hasn't been winning anything lately. So I still think it's time for him to main event the Tokyo Dome. I might have just given away my winner, but Tetsuya Naito is who I got winning the D block.
I have Hiroki Goto winning.
Okay, so you got a current tag champ, Bishamon. So for me, just a quick rundown. I got Sonata, Will Ospreay, Shingo Takagi, and Tetsuya Naito. Rundown for you. You have...
Yeah, I've got Shota, Taichi, Shingo, and Hiroki.
So out of those four, who do you have winning the G1 this year to challenge Sonata for the... Well, you win the G1, you get the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. So it might not be Sonata.
Shingo Takagi.
Okay. Some LIJ action?
100%.
It's not.
I mean, if that's where they're heading, and it feels like that's where they're pushing right now, it makes the most sense for Shingo to win it.
Yeah, Just Five Guys LIJ is main eventing every show. I'm it's not going to be Sonata. I don't think Sonata's winning the G1 and the New Japan Cup. So to me, Will Ospreay, Shingo, or Tetsuya is who I got. It's going to be I got Tetsuya Naito. I think it's finally time he main events the Tokyo Dome. Give us the apprentice versus master fucking, you know, Sonata versus Naito. Let Sonata hold this belt for, you know, the majority of the year. I think he's doing fine as a champion in terms of selling and door sales and all that. So, yeah, I got Sonata and Naito at the Tokyo Dome, and I got Naito winning the G1. I don't know the order of the final, but we're all for the better with all of these wrestlers. I got to tell you, I fucking love your Tai Chi pick.
Oh, it feels like they're pushing him hard right now. He feels like he's going to be one of their majors. He could win the world title next year, dude. It could happen.
I would love it. Dangerous Techers, one of my favorite tag teams ever in New Japan. Him and Zack Sabre. So that's all we got for New Japan today. But there's a little bit of Stardom news. We got Meltzer was kind of on the Wrestling Observer here talking about Stardom is not expected at AEW New Japan Forbidden Door 2. And just basically, the promotion.
Well, that's funny because the rumor a month ago was the exact opposite. Not from him, but from the general wrestling community rumors. That was the rumors that there was a big push to get them on.
Yep. So Stardom Sunshine 2023 pay-per-view takes place from Yoyogi.
Unpopular question. Do you think Mercedes' injury is what derailed them getting on the show?
Oh, I bet it did. I think Mercedes was on this show. I feel it in my bones. I think that was the third big match. That was our third big singles match. And we're not getting any more, which is sad. But, yeah, Stardom has a pay-per-view that day. And all the top stars are booked for matches on that show. And pretty much Stardom also informed Dave Meltzer they have not been contacted by AEW regarding the event. So, I guess we'll see. I now do not expect any Stardom there. I mean, I'm just looking at the matches already confirmed for Stardom Sunshine. And, I mean, Tom Nakano's booked, Kyrie's booked. Series booked pretty much everyone. So Mariah May with Club Venus, Julia's booked, Mayu Iwatani's booked, Azumi, everyone. So Starlight Kid. So yeah,
maybe next year.
But that leads me to something I think that is going to happen though. With no Stardom, I'm wondering now, how many women's matches do we have at Forbidden Door this year? Last year, we had Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa, 1v1. I'm going to double-check myself, but I'm almost positive that's the only match we had. But, so going into it this year, are we going to only have one? Are we going to have two? Are we going to have three? I think, with no Stardom, I think we're going to see Willow defend her title against, I have no fucking clue. It could be someone we couldn't name out of 50 tries. It could be Saraya. I don't know who it's going to be.
This might be a wild thought, but it could be that they put her against Athena and Athena becomes a double champ, you know?
I would love to see Athena booked on the show.
Because she wasn't meant to be champion anyway, not the shit on Willow, but I don't know if New Japan wants her as a long-term champion for that belt, you know? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Because I would never have put... I would have, if you had asked me before that, obviously Mercedes' injury is a completely different thing, but if you had asked me before that match, if I thought Willow had a chance in hell of beating Mercedes for that title, I would have told you no. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
so, and since we know Mayu's booked, New Japan has a women's champion, and she's an AEW talent. So, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think we're just going to get the AEW Women's Championship booked? Or do you think we're going to get two, three? Is Statlander going to be booked on here?
I mean, it'd be cool if they did more. I mean, I have no idea. Because I know why they didn't have Jade wrestle last year. Because on that card, Jade would have just stood out so much more. You know what I mean? Like, I think... because you have a stat this year, you could maybe, but like, because you don't have the ability to yank somebody from Stardom, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know who you put her against. Like, it's weird because I think all the women's matches you have to basically be AEW versus AEW because there's not a whole lot of talent from the Stardom New Japan women's pool that you can really yank
Do
from.
Do they just run it with Stephanie Vaquer maybe who had the good match with Will with Mercedes? I don't know. It says she signed a CMLL. Are they going to be allowed to be on the show? I have no fucking clue. So
yeah, I don't know, man. It's tough. It could be one match again, and it could be Willow's title, and she just gets like a win. You know, I don't know. I really hope it's not like Tony Storm
against someone.
I don't think so, man. Why would they be running a title match so close to when the pay per view is? They don't usually do that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, her versus maybe just her versus Willow. That'd be bullshit.
Nah, I don't like that, because then I feel like Tony has to win that. In the same way that if you put her against Athena, she has to win that. You know, like,
yeah. So they're gonna have options. Maybe Jamie's healthy, and that's our answer to all of this. But yeah, so. That being said, a quick shout out. Alex Shelley won the Impact World title at Against All Odds, so good for him. And Chris Sabin won the X Division title earlier in the night. So we were talking about Motor City Machine Guns for kicking ass lately. Apparently, everyone else agrees. So as time's gone on.
Yeah, if you told me MCMG were going to make a comeback in like the mid 2020s, I'd have been like, okay.
Right. There's Alex Shelley, fucking world champ. All right. So, you know, one of the benefits of having AEW and having a second major wrestling company in America is we're seeing a lot more international talents join AEW. This year alone, we had Commander. We had Yuka Sakazaki has announced she's moving to America. Konosuke Takeshita. More and more. I don't find it a surprise. In the past 24 hours, Roosh and now Bandido have left AAA. They're done with it. It sounds like they're going to AEW full-time. And if they're not in AAA, it probably also means that they can be on Forbidden Door. So, actually, that does mean they can be on Forbidden Door, because AAA is the only reason we're not going to see the Lucha Bros and Andrade again. Which is why I'm still holding out hope that we're going to see Andrade Will Ospreay this weekend or next weekend. But yeah, this is still so fresh, so we don't know the repercussions of this. But I can only imagine this is good news for these guys in terms of they're finally probably at a position where they're able to do this to go into AEW.
Yeah, we can get that weekly Bandido run that we've been needing for a while. He needs to be, and I think they've been saving a spot for him on TV for a while now.
Yeah.
For when he can finally fully go all out. There's going to be a match spot for him every week. You know who I'd have him face in the next couple weeks, in the lead up to Forbidden Door? Throw him against Cassidy.
Yeah. You can run that back. Put the tag back together. I don't even care. But
yeah,
pretty much ever since Bandido's return.
Actually, could have him run some trios matches with like best friends as best amigos again. Dude, I love that Bandido's got like six tag teams that he tags with and nobody cares. It's like, yeah, it's Bandido.
It worked
whatever.
Very well. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a good sign for these guys. I think this is another benefit of having another major wrestling company in America. And, you know, we're going to continue to see
this. We could
growth.
See a similar thing with Andrade and CMLL, like potentially.
I think so. I think he's pissed. I mean, we know his frustrations. So he was
and we
very
know
upset
his frustrations year. With NXT and WWE were similar, like where he just felt like he was restricted on what he could do. So now if you're like not letting him wrestle on these big shows, I'm sure he was pissed that he was left off Forbidden Door last year. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, definitely. Especially knowing his match was Ospreay.
Uh-huh. Like 1,000%. I could see him doing something similar. And we may see more stuff like this in the lead up to Forbidden Door. And it would. And you know what? And if that pisses off AAA and CMLL and they refuse to work with AEW in the future, so fucking be it. If they want to be dicks about this shit because of wrestling politics in Mexico, like, I'm sorry, guys. I get it. It's tough down there. It's probably way harder to succeed in wrestling for either of those companies than it is for anybody here, right? Because they're in Mexico and just, I'm sure there's various reasons why it's more difficult. You know what I mean? And so that's why that shit gets so, you know, to use the term bloody, you know what I mean? So I just hope that the wrestlers do the right thing. And not that they're doing the wrong thing if they choose to stick with these companies. If they genuinely see a benefit for themselves by staying with these companies, great. You know what I mean? But
maybe
if they don't.
Maybe Bandido and Roosh leaving could be an eye-opener.
I hope so. I hope that maybe some of the other wrestlers start to say, you know what? My career is more important to me than whether or not I can have respect of the wrestlers in Mexico, you know, like, or whatever.
Or it could be the complete opposite. And maybe we don't see Vikingo anymore. And
I think there's a good chance that we don't see Vikingo for a while after this. I think there's a good chance because they're going to be really mad that they lost Roosh. You know, Roosh is a big star over there. I think you know, like
so Roosh is amazing, and
that whole family is. I mean, you know what the significant thing was too? It wasn't just Roosh. Roosh's father also left, and Roosh's father is really popular in Mexico. You know, so I mean, that's why Roosh gets the respect he does, and so does Realistico and Dragon Lee because of that family heritage. You know what I mean? So.
Roosh is another guy I really hope we see more of now that Collision's here and stuff like that. But that
I would make him one of my stars of Collision. That's what I said they should do on Ring of Honor, but they obviously wanted to use him on Dynamite, so they decided against that. And that was the right move because we've gotten some good Roosh matches. Like, even his match with Jungle Boy, fucking great. You know what I mean? Like,
I thought that match was beyond excellent.
Give me more Roosh, please. Give me more Roosh. Give me Andrade. Give me. I'm so glad that we already know we're getting Andrade on Collision. That's so great. You know what I mean?
Like, it's a great sign to me. But, yeah, that being said, that's it for news today. So, if you want to take the reins here, and we're going to jump into Ring of Honor, where we're diving into episode,
15 of Ring of Honor at Otter Club. The Ring of God! All right. We opened it up with a great, you know, set of music to hear, which we were like, oh, Christopher Daniels, okay, whatever. But then, Aussie! It's Fletchy, bud. It's old Kyle Fletcher taking on Christopher Daniels there, bud. Chiefer, pal. Anyway. It seems like Fletcher's just having every match he can right now in Ring of Honor and AEW, which I'm all for. Give Fletchy the singles run. Get him that title. But anyway. Because it's weird, because I don't know about you, Charlie. Maybe I'm a dick for thinking this, but I thought, like, between the two of them, I thought Davis was the stronger wrestler. You know what I mean? Nothing against Fletcher, but I thought if there was going to be one of them that was going to be a singles wrestler, it'd be the big meat. You know what I mean?
Like, Davis is a proven singles wrestler.
There you go. That's a good way of putting it. We've seen him wrestle in the New Japan Cup and stuff like that, and he had some great matches in the New Japan Cup. You know what I mean? But we hadn't seen much from Fletcher, so... I'm glad that Fletcher, because of his injury, not that's a good thing that Mark Davis is injured, but his injury is allowing Fletcher to show what he can do a little bit more, and I like that. And he's becoming one of my favorite guys to watch in singles right now. This wasn't anything special, you know, because Christopher Daniels is aging like fucking milk, and I'm just sorry, I'm just being honest at this point, you know. Though we didn't really love the match,
and
Kyle
and
did really great with the facial expressions here, which is something you pointed out to me while we were watching this.
That's what's going to make him excel on another level.
Yeah. Good old hammer locks and stuff like that. Fletcher picks up the win.
The thing I hate to agree with your Christopher Daniels statement, but I do.
Yeah.
And it's because when he went out there and had the, and I was there live. When he had the stinker with Samoa Joe, that's when I felt like, yeah, at this point, he's just a veteran putting guys over. I'm cool if he puts guys like Kyle Fletcher over. You're not going to see me complain about this.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, the time is getting past, I guess you could say. But he does a great job in AEW backstage. So, you know, he is a fantastic person to have around. But
Yeah, absolutely. So he's good. He's good. Definitely good to have around. I just, you know, I don't know if we need him wrestling as much anymore, but we'll see. Maybe he'll do every now and then I say this and then he'll go out and have a match. And I'm like, oh, yeah, now I know why they use him, because occasionally he does this. But his tag team partner also had a match that opened up the show. We had Matt Sydal taking on. Wait, who the fuck is Zach Clayton?
Oh, you don't know? Zach fucking Clayton is the guy. He's the shot.
He had a nice mid-air power slam on Sydal. Matt Sydal still does the flippy dippy well. And he cut a promo afterward, which made us both go, oh no.
And I gotta ask. Is there a reason why Cole Carter, or not Cole Carter, I'm sorry. Cole Carter's awesome. Is there a reason why Zach Clayton, every time he faces someone, he beats him? But we don't know the person he's facing. So, theoretically, we're building him up, right?
Uh-huh. And then he loses to somebody like Matt Sydal.
He then, you know, faces Hook and gets his ass beat. So, you know, we go back.
Pure enhancement guy.
We go back to the singles matches, and he's beating people, but we don't know who they are. We say, all right. So, we're going to put him in trios where he doesn't take the pin, ever. But then, we're going to bring him to Ring of Honor and have him lose to fucking Matt Sydal in 3 minutes for no fucking reason. Seriously, what is
I'm just still wondering who the fuck Zach Clayton is.
I just, It blows my mind. This, why this should have been the same result as the last match. Zach Layton should have beat him. I don't know. They have no direction for him. The guy's pretty good, man. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's matches like this. You can't have Zach Layton lose this in 3 minutes. Because now what's going to happen? He's going to go squash four more guys and then fucking lose to, I don't even know, the fucking Cyrus Young in 4 minutes? Like, what's going to happen next?
I got nothing. Exactly. Drillistico took on Willie Mack. They had a little bit of a flip fest here because, you know, I think a lot of people when they see this match are like, ah, oh, Willie's getting beat again. It's going to be lame because he's a big guy and it's a flippy guy. Nope. Despite his size, Willie Mack is also a flippy guy. So
yeah.
If you haven't watched PWG, go take a quick gander at his PWG non. He is an animal in PWG. Let me just say, like, an absolute freak. You know what I mean? Like, anyway.
Yep. This is SoCal wrestling to a T.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, and that's basically what I wrote down on my notes, like the insane athleticism from the Mack attack, you know what I mean? They blasted the fuck out of each other too. I forget the Drillistico hits pretty hard sometimes, you know? This was basically just a PWG match, is what you were saying while we were watching this, and or maybe I said that, one of the two. It was a fun match, the crowd got into this, you know, and then Drillistico hit him right in the nards. Right in the nards. So GG's. Then we had Tony Khan come out and make an announcement on the Ring of Honor Board of Directors, which will feature Stokely Hathaway and Jerry Lynn. Thoughts on this, Charlie?
I love bringing Stokely in for a bigger role like this.
Give Stoke a little bit to do there, bud.
He is someone that we've said, just keep him on our TVs. And if he's a weekly ROH guy, fucking count me in.
Yeah, I think I could like Stokely as the heel GM, Jerry Lynn to balance it out as the babyface GM, kind of like, you remember the dynamic they were both babyfaces, but like sort of the dynamic that Bryan Danielson and Shane McMahon had when they were running SmackDown. They're like, really, yeah. Bryan was in charge, really Stokely's in charge, but Jerry Lynn's there to make sure he doesn't do anything crazy, you know? Like, I could like that. I could see that working, like, similarly, but we mostly see Stokely just like we mostly saw Bryan, you know? God, Bryan Danielson as GM was really a blessed time in wrestling, wasn't it? He hated it, but I loved it. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of awesome, we had Willow Nightingale taking on Rachel Ellering for the New Japan Women's Strong Women's Championship. Caprice started out spitting some hot fire, as I could say that. Let me try and find a way to say that wider. He was spitting some hot flame there, bud. Anyway, Caprice. Yeah, I love Caprice. He's awesome. Anyway, this was not my favorite Willow match, but I didn't hate it. Caprice makes these matches for Willow exciting for me. Like, he just does a really good job with them. I think he gets excited for Willow matches, so that kind of shows through, you know? And she picks up the one with Babe with Powerbomb, you know, just a good old Willow match. Nice little strong women's squash. Rachel Ellering, kind of one of those ones that got lost in the shuffle in NXT, right? So, you know, like,
yeah.
Just never found something there, which is weird because AOP, for all they were able to do on their own in the main roster, managed to with her dad helping. And I'm sure her dad's helping her, maybe. Anyway.
I'd have to imagine in some sense. You know?
Do what? What'd you say?
I'd say I have to imagine some sense that she's getting help from her dad or
I hope or so. Chris I mean, Hero, I just think know? She'll find something eventually. She's just not there yet. Speaking of stuff that's just not quite there yet, the Embassy took on Cheeseburger, Eli Isom, and Marcus Cross. Just a dominant win here. Not much to it. Pretty quick. Embassy still haven't really found their way yet, I don't think. It's weird because they've been using them for a while, and I still don't know what the Embassy are about. I really don't. Which sucks because they're like in a main event angle right now. Well, not main event, but like a main TV show angle right now, you know? Like, so the fact that they're still trying to work this out on Ring of Honor, they got to figure something out fast or they're going to be Swerve's entourage. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, we've had Vert Vixen taking on Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes, role of victories continued here. There was a good blue thunderbomb from Vert. It was a slow match, but they sold well in it, and she locked in the Brass City Sleeper for the dub. Griff Garrison making his in-ring return for the first time in, God, probably, like, what, 3 or 4 months, something like that, maybe?
It's been a while, yeah.
Griff Garrison finally back, taking on Lee Moriarty. I'm glad to see Griff back. He didn't come back with a new look or beefed out or anything like that, which is, like, a little disappointed, but maybe he wasn't in an injury where he could do that, you know? It's possible.
Who the fuck is Griff Garrison?
That's true. Who the fuck is Griff Garrison? But anyway, yeah, he seemed to slip right back into wrestling nicely. He didn't miss any beats here to me. Lee sold well for him, despite him just coming back. You know, I mean, not that he shouldn't, but, you know, like, he made him look like, ah, this guy, I wasn't expecting him to be this good coming off an injury. Anyway, interesting counter pin they pick up the win with. You know, it's one of those matches, like, I bet it would be good if they gave it some time, but this is just, like, a random match on Ring of Honor, so, and it was Griff's return match. Just get him a little match back. And we had Robin Renegade taking on Kiera Hogan. I thought they lacked a little bit of chemistry here, I'm not gonna lie to you. But it wasn't bad. Robin did some small things that were, like, heelish that were good. They did a twin magic attempt. Kiera reversed it. Well, she didn't really reverse it, but she just said, fuck that shit. And Kiera picked up the win. Athena then tried to hit her with the kendo stick to continue the feud and bonked herself on the head with it. And it was just a fucking gifable moment if I've ever seen one. And
it was pretty good.
Goddamn, it was hilarious.
See, I could have a similar rage here with Robin, but that I had with Zach Clayton. But, you know, Robin's featured a lot, and Kiera Hogan's going for the title.
I think they know what they have in Robin.
Yeah.
And this loss doesn't feel bad. Even though she's obviously better between her and her sister, I think they realize what they have in this group, that there's something there. They just don't know what
it is. Of course, yep. And I don't mind her losing.
Are these the new baddies that Jade should take on? Maybe. I don't know. Like, if they don't get picked up by Mercedes,
right?
Or Mercedes. Yeah, Mercedes said she had an interest in working with them, right? So, yeah, if Mercedes doesn't get them, you know, put them with Jade or put them all together. Fuck, if Mercedes was the actual, like, talker, if you get rid of Mark Sterling and have Mercedes be Jade's talker, dude, and also wrestling at the same time and also teaching the Renegades, I'm telling you, there's opportunity there. Anyway, I don't know if Mercedes wants to work with Jade, though. I would think, though, if she's got a brain, she would, you know, like, because, you know, Jade's, like, one of the biggest stars in AEW, but whatever. Speaking of the biggest stars in AEW, the Dark Order took on the Workhorsemen. Anyway, sorry, that was a little joke for myself. I do like both of the people, or I guess I should say I like all the people in this match. I would like to see an official trio of Shane Taylor and the Workhorsemen, which is why I listed in the match just the Workhorsemen here, because even though Shane Taylor was a part of this here, I consider him a workhorseman at this point, even though I probably shouldn't. Go ahead.
Even still, during this match, Anthony Henry on his own is just...
He's so good.
Do you see his
matches on PWG? That's all.
And I hate to say it, he needs to get away from Jade.
Dude, he was so good in PWG last year. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so was fucking his partner. Anyway. Those are Southern California wrestling. Anyway, so they picked the one with the tag team combo meal move, you know, whatever. Backstage, we go to the Righteous, who add a little bit of flavor to the storyline by, you know, basically, like, calling out the Dark Order, being like, yo, you think you're doing something out there that's, like, unique and cool and, like, pay attention next week, motherfucker. Basically is what he said. You know what I mean? Like. And it seems that I would say Stu has fully gone to the dark side, I would say. It seems like they still want him to not fully commit yet. But I think whenever these groups have a trios match, I think is when he's finally going to, like, he's going to put Uno down. Like, I know they already had the match, but I'm saying, like, I think that when they, like, finally have the big payoff that it feels like this is building to, I think is when he's going to finally put Uno down. You know what I mean?
And I want to toss this out there, because maybe everyone listening to this doesn't really watch Ring of Honor. Maybe they just kind of keep up with it for the AW guys for us. And if you guys are interested in a single storyline from Ring of Honor, maybe go watch some clips of what they're doing with these guys backstage. And
oh, yeah.
And even in that match last week, which you covered very well, they're doing those cult aspects of hiding Stu. Stu is not seeing the bad things that is happening. It's a really fascinating multi-layered storyline that, hey,
like, you can tell that, what's the name of the guy? It's not Dutch. What's the other? I can't think of his name.
Vincent.
Vincent. You can tell that the guy that I'm going to say that plays Vincent, even though that's usually how you refer to wrestling, the guy playing Vincent has done a lot of study about this gimmick. I think that's probably why the Righteous were a popular team.
This is such an evolved layer of when he was with Matt Taven. Like he has evolved so much from then. He's like broken. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I would, with how much the Kingdom's getting featured, maybe they go after the Kingdom once Stu is part of their group.
because they want revenge on Taven. You know what I mean? Like, I'm Matt Taven. Anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of Matt Taven, I'm not going to jump over Darius. Darius? Wow. Darius Martin. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I'm really interested to see where that story goes. Speaking of Darius, anyway, Darius Martin Andretti, I can speak, I swear. And AR Fox, which is apparently still a trio somehow, I don't know, took on the Trust Busters. There was like Trust Butler, and I think it was the Trust Butler. Slim J and Sunny Kiss. Is that the trio here?
Yep.
Yeah. Nothing really bad here, but nothing really like spectacular either. The Trust Busters on Ring of Honor experiment is over, I think. I think the fact that Daivari wasn't here says everything, because I think they have other plans for Daivari. I think that's what that means. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyway. So we have the Kingdom versus El Cobarde and El Dragon, I believe is what they were referred to as. A couple of luchadors. Mike Bennett got busted open during this match. Matt Taven gave him just a tip, and that's about it. I'm Matt Taven! Anyway, so yeah, the Kingdom kind of just. They're there right now. It's kind of like after they had their feud with Darius and then they didn't really know what to do with them. Or sorry, before that feud, they didn't really know what to do with them after their first initial thing. So we'll see. We had an announcement of a Ring of Honor World Six-Man Titles. Is that what it's called? Whatever the hell. The Trios titles of Ring of Honor. Those titles are going to be on the line next week.
Six-man title, yeah.
And fuck, I didn't write down the match. It's Embassy Takei on Hoomst. I forget.
It's Andretti, Fox, and Martin.
Ah, that's right. That makes sense. All right.
Should be a fun fucking match.
Yeah, it should be a good match. Those guys aren't winning it, obviously. You know.
No.
It's like everything with it's like every time you want to book the top flight as champions. Like if one of them's hurt, nobody's winning anything. You know. yeah. So in the main event of Ring of Honor was a little weird. I got to be honest. Well, let's talk about this a little bit, Charlie. We had Ray Fiennes taking on Gravity. So this was Bandido.
Yep.
And he was wrestling under an alias, I've said on the podcast before that I think they could get away with a little more in Ring of Honor than they can in AEW. But definitely something I thought they should do in AEW on Dark, just because there's got to be weeks where they need enhancement talent and they don't have it, right? And they want to get somebody a match. And so they just can't book a match for them. I wonder how often that happens. Or they have to have somebody lose that they maybe think shouldn't. I wonder if that's happened. I mean, AEW's got a thick roster. But I also wonder how many of the times they've actually had to just think about it like that. You know, who are they going to sacrifice so this person can get the build they need? I don't know. But Gravity was interesting. It was a weird-looking gear. They're looking like Buzz Lightyear, yeah. So now Cody Danielson and Bandido have all done this, though, in AEW.
Talk about like what great three guys to do this.
if you're gonna trust anybody to do it, it's those guys. Although they picked the three guys with the most obviously them move sets, though.
And then, I guess Serpentico too, because he's wrestled under like four names. But still,
that's true. But like, Serpentico, you know, we kind of expect that from Serpentico because he's very
he's awesome.
He's like a utility guy in a baseball team. You could plug him in anywhere. You know what I mean? You even plugged him in on commentary. But anyway, so yeah,
I mean, literally.
Literally. They did some really good stuff. It was honestly just a random match. Clean pop-up cutter from Phoenix to pick up to set up the pile driver for the win. Bandido, they just didn't want to have lose here, obviously, because they're tag partners. So, you know, like, if they're tag partners, they can't really have them fight. So put him in a mask, you know, or a different mask, I guess I should say. Have him dress up like his Buzz Lightyear and have Ray Phoenix beat him. And that was Ring of Honor on Honor Club episode 15, everybody. It was a good show. A perfect 2 hours, I thought, you know, that didn't feel like I ever got bored. I don't know about you. Maybe the first Ring of Honor Boards of Directors segment. Oh, I missed there was a second one in there at one point where he clarified some stuff about it. But
no, you got it.
Oh, did I?
The only thing about this show, and this is because of a precedent Ring of Honor setup, is I felt like, outside of Jalisco and Willie Mack, just about every match was kind of a
spectacular. This was a dark Ring of Honor, basically, which was fine. But I didn't think anything hurt anybody either. Like,
no, it
dark would
hurt
have matches
anyone,
that I'd be like, "This is just lame, and I don't care about it." You know, none of those felt like that to me.
With Samoa Joe versus Matt Sydal and the Embassy versus Fox, Andretti, and Darius Martin. We got two pretty big matches next week that I think will help carry the load. So that'll be fun. And I also liked that it was back in Universal, for sure. That being said, I think we jump into Dynamite now, huh? Where we've already covered two of the matches. So let's jump into after Orange Cassidy, where Bryan Danielson ends up making his way to commentary, and he's pretty much prepping for the next match. We get a video package of Danielson challenging Okada during the Dominion show, and Okada accepting the fight for Forbidden Door. When Okada steps in the ring with Danielson, he's stepping foot in the desert, and there will be no rain for the Rainmaker. We're going to glaze that match up for 30 minutes. Just be prepared in 2 weeks. All right, Blackpool Combat Club, Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta defeated Chaos, which was Chuck Taylor, Trent Beretta, and Rocky Romero. Action-packed, six-man. Chaos got a fuckload of offense in. But in the end, Wheeler Yuta prevails. He's the killer. He's the X-Factor. He's the final dagger. He's the heir to the Iron Throne. I mean, you name it.
Yeah, Wheeler is literally like I think he's on the rise right now. I think Wheeler beat MJF for the world title.
I mean, in the way they're booking these matches, you would think he's next in line. Well, but instead of going beat for beat for the entire match, I'll get to the end here where Wheeler's just going ballistic. So pretty much he ends up clocking Chuck Taylor with a Busaiko knee. Then Moxley is countering a submission from Rocky into a bulldog choke. Yuta is just relentlessly cracking the hammer and elbow fucking, you know what I mean, on Chuck Taylor post-match.
The way they have built those elbows up over the last year makes them such a deadly-looking weapon when they get used. Anytime they start doing that, that can end a match, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's awesome.
And, God, Wheeler Yuta just looks so good. And the smiling Bryan Danielson on commentary was the fucking, just the ultimate thumbs up. I'm not going to complain about seeing Blackpool Combat Club on our TV. You know,
100%.
We jump to backstage where the Bucks and
I think
Hangman
for a
Page...
while it was a gimmick because like Ryan, obviously, and maybe John could make an argument for how good he was from last year, but they genuinely are the best wrestlers in the world right now. It's crazy.
I've never seen a group like the Combat Club ever. Just like I've never seen a group like this one. The Bucks and Hangman Page, they're talking about next week. They just saw that match as well. They're talking about where Dynamite all began in Washington, D.C.
Can I just say the image of the three of them standing there, the Hung Bucks, just chilling backstage, looking like some fucking killers just standing. You know what I'm talking about? In the tight little area they shot them in, it just made them feel like killers. You know what I mean? Like,
and like you just said, most importantly, AEW addressed them as the Hung Bucks. They have not said that since Ring of Honor. I am so glad they're keeping that trio name. I love the little subsidiary trios that all these groups can have. You know what I mean?
Let's just talk about, I mean, obviously just, they broke them up, but you've got the Elite, which is Kenny and the Bucks. You've got the Super Elite, which is the Bucks isn't that the Bucks, Kenny, and like Adam Cole or something like that?
Undisputed Elite.
Yeah, and then you have the Undisputed Elite, which is everyone when they had the whole group together of Undisputed Era and Elite. And you have you've also got like that 10-man tag group that they did the one time before the other two got there, you know what I mean? Like there's so many variations on this faction that you can run, and now that you have Hangman back, you obviously have the Hung Bucks and all that stuff. So and you have Kenny and Hangman as a tag team potentially. I mean
the Golden Elite and
you bring
Lovers.
In Coda 100%, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, so I mean there's so many options here, and it just makes the Elite so much cooler of a faction, especially because they can just literally have if somebody gets taken out, they can just slot in Hangman instead of Kenny, and all of a sudden they've got just as good of a tag team, if not better, or, you know, depending on the week, you know, so it's like, and I love that Kenny is just pissed and he's not coming back right now. It's great. You know what I mean?
Oh man, I'm so ready for Kenny. This is, oh yeah. So yeah, the Bucks, the Hung Bucks versus Blackpool Combat Club live in DC. Like I said, they're trying to clearly get a big show, and that's how you do it. Video package. Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay is shown. My God, they fucking did it. They were showcasing the match from Wrestle Kingdom. Why
for
they
the
didn't
promo
do it that,
that
week?
Will cut for this is so good. We watched it on the pay-per-view, but like, goddamn, every time they play it on Dynamite or whatever, it's so fucking good. Savage. I'm the one that you left living in his own blood.
Oh, man. These two, they have magic together. Some guys just have magic in the ring together, and these two have it. They're shooting for the greatest trilogy of all time. Their first match, it was fucking incredible. So if you step it up from that match two more times,
here's the thing. We could get potentially the finishes of two of the greatest trilogies of all time within like a few months of each other. Because if they run back Punk versus MJF right away, like some people think they're going to do, that would be the trilogy of that match too. And that's going to have some good, it's going to be tough to top that if they make it, but if they somehow make the third match in that even crazier and more of a feud, like, than it was already on top of the first two times they face, you know what I mean? Like, you know, non-dog collar and dog collar or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If they manage to do that, it's going to be a really crazy year to have to look at like the best trilogy. We might have two of the best trilogies of all time in the same company. Well, sorry, with the people from the same company as well as Will Ospreay. You know what I mean? Wrestling is so crazy right now.
It absolutely is. So, okay, we jump from that to MJF. MJF's music hits. He's out there talking about, there's no competition.
Bro, this dynamite was hitting. I forgot. Everything in the first like bit of this was so fucking good.
He's saying there's no competition for him. No one's on the level of the devil. Adam Cole, baby. The music hits. He just beat Jericho twice. I mean, this guy's fucking cooking right now. MJF demanded the music to be cut. There's some loud boos there. He can get the chant. MJF finally said, finally some competition. He's a fan of Cole. Once CM Punk left him as a kid, he turned the channel to Ring of Honor, which he thought sucked, but was hooked on Cole's work. MJF mentioned Cole's time in CZW, traveling the Indies, going to Florida to shock the system as Shawn Michaels' handpicked guy, which is undisputed. MJF followed in Cole's footsteps, went to CZW, became an M on the Indies, and signing with AEW, destined to one-day feud with Cole. He disappointed the Panama Playboy was gone, but the Panama Game Boy is here. More preoccupied playing video games with his balls always in Britt Baker's purse. MJF said Cole is now so frail, he makes crack whores jealous. He said fans might think Cole isn't utilized properly, but AEW's done everything they could to make Cole over. And all they have to do for the MJF is ring the bell. I butchered that line, but that's a fucking... God, that's a callback to the meme of Karrion Kross. MJF is the best dog collar, Iron Man, four-way in AEW history. MJF said he heard a rumor about a certain individual in Titan Towers didn't think Cole could make it and named Vince McMahon. MJF is a big fan of. MJF thought the old man lost his marbles, but standing in the ring with Cole, Vince was right. Anything about MJF before we jump into what Adam Cole replied? I mean, he's
MJF did the MJF thing. You know, I thought he did a really good setup for Adam Cole, who you noted when we were talking this week. Not known for, like, Adam Cole cuts good promos, but he doesn't cut, like, MJF promos or CM Punk promos or even Bryan Danielson promos. He cuts good promos, but they're not on the level of the devil. And so I was really interested to see where he was going to go from here. So I was mostly focused on, I did pay attention to what MJF said, but I was really locked in on Cole's face and like, what his reaction was. And he was just giving him the fucking mean mug, bro. I love that. I was just like, yeah, Adam, get his ass.
Get him, boy. Cole asked that if that was the best MJF got. MJF's coming across like an internet troll. Thought that was a nice touch. Cole questions MJF's fascination on other people's relationship. Asks if that's why his fiance left him. Dang. Cole said MJF is world-class douchebag. Cole, in regards to his body of work, MJF couldn't touch him. If they asked, they could go backstage, piss in cups, and take tests, see who's natural and who's not.
Got his ass.
MJF didn't like that. Cole swears on his life no one backstage respects MJF, as everyone thinks he's selfish, conceited, and does the bare minimum to get where he's at. So MJF said he'll cry to his money. About how that's tough talk coming from Keith Lee's manager. Cole said, there it is. Typical MJF, creating a false narrative, calling him a coward for not wanting to fight. Cole said he's better than MJF and the fans know it. MJF said he'd fight Cole anywhere as Cole smirked and said, attaboy, champ, before hitting the Adam Cole, baby. Fucking MJF's wrestling next week against Adam Cole.
I'm down. Yeah. I'm here. We're Dynamite's going to be fucking loaded, dude. It's going to be awesome. We gotta get hype before Forbidden Door. Gotta get to it.
Do you think this means maybe we'll run the title match at Forbidden Door?
I hope so. Run it back. I mean, that's what they did with him at Revolution, right? They ran they did that the week after, I should say. But they've run more than one title match with Adam Cole and a champion before.
Bye-bye.
By the way, can I just say it makes me so fucking happy that both of the feuds that he's been in for titles in this company so far, world title feuds, go Adam Cole.
Yeah. Maybe he'll win it. We see footage of the buy-in at Double or Nothing where the Hardys gain control of the Ethan Page's contract. Backstage, Matt, Jeff, and Brother Zay introduce Paige.
Wait, think about that. Adam Cole's already had a program for as a babyface and a heel for the world title, and he's only been in the company for like a year or like a little bit less or maybe more than a year, however long he's been in for. Think about that. How many people have covered that much ground? The only other person I could even think who's had that run like that was maybe Britt Baker, but she didn't win the title as a face. So I don't know. Has anybody else run that game? But I don't think so.
Yeah. Maybe just CM Punk who won the title. Fuck, you know? Maybe. Pretty much, Hardy stuff. Whatever. Tony Khan, backstage, he announced the main event of Collision. Switchblade Jay White, Juice Robinson, and Samoa Joe will battle AEW Tag Team Champions FTR and CM Punk.
Dude. What a match.
I'm down with this. This lines up with our Samoa Joe versus CM Punk rumor, and this goes hand in hand with Jay White and Juice versus FTR, so I'm fucking cool. Kinosuke Takeshita defeated Damon Ace. After the match, Callis takes the microphone, said, unlike last week, he will be heard. Takeshita took the mic, spoke some Japanese briefly before Callis said everything Omega had in his life was because of him. Omega defeated Will Ospreay because of Callis, and Omega became a cancer in Callis' body, so we cut him out. Callis and his family will cut the Elite from AEW for good. Again, the boos here were incredible.
So I guess we should ask this because we haven't really given it a lot of thought on the show so far, I don't think, or even in our random conversation. Who do we think Don Callis' family is? Because it's clearly not the BCC.
I don't know. No,
because if it was, you'd think they would have just gone with that by now. Because yeah, they kept asking Brian, and Brian kept saying, I don't know. And so I think they must have asked him back. Maybe Brian asked him to stop doing that backstage because that's not the plan, you know? And or maybe that is the plan, and that's why he asked him to stop asking. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of curious because it could be, dude, he could have four Japanese dudes or even just two Japanese dudes, to be a trio with Kinosuke that he's going to bring in. I could see Callis having some connections over in New Japan, so I'm trying to think of who it would be, but get a couple of the young guys over there that aren't really doing anything. Maybe Ishimori leaves the Bullet Club and comes and joins over at AEW, you know what I mean, or something like that. And because there is a reshuffle happening in Bullet Club right now, so that could happen. Or maybe he comes and he joins, maybe the new family for Kinosuke is Bullet Club Gold, and they bring in guys like Ishimori and there's potentially like El Phantasmo. What if that's your group of Bullet Club Gold?
It could be.
That'd be a hell of a five. You know what I mean? Like,
I'd be down.
God, that faction on paper: Kinosuke, freaking Jay White, freaking Juice Robinson, Taiji Ishimori, and wait, who else did I say? Shit, I don't even remember. It was somebody else from Bullet Club. I can't remember, but yeah, if that's your group, hell yeah. I don't think they'd do that, but if they could somehow pull something like that off, I think it'd be cool. ELP,
bring them back. Alex Marvez was backstage, Christian Cage locker room, where commotion was heard. Cage came out and said he was the uncrowned TNT champ, something Arn Anderson cost him. So Cage revealed that Luchasaurus had bloodied Arn's son, Brock, and said it was an early Father's Day present. Okay. Chris Statlander wrestled Anna Jay for the Anna Jas to retain the TBS title. Yes, pretty quick run of the mill here. Statlander just kind of ran her down at a certain point, and just the story here is Taya Valkyrie's backstage. So maybe they're planting the seeds of that match at Forbidden Door.
Okay, oh, yeah, I think so. Okay, so. And that feels like that's a match that if it's an AEW versus AEW match, that fits. You know what I mean? That fits the vibe of New Japan to me, because Taya has also done stuff internationally. Obviously, she's known as La Loca. Yeah, I can never remember it properly. But anyway,
the crazy blonde.
I got a question, Charlie. And this is something that occurred to me while watching Anna Jas on this. Are the Jas, are they done?
Fucking hope so. Hey, that'd benefit Daniel Garcia. Maybe that. I mean, hope. I think Sammy's already out. Yeah. I mean, yeah. This was. I mean, they're doing the same. It's. I don't know. They gotta do something different with this. I don't want the same exact title reign. Just a quick, 4 minute squash here. Whatever the hell this was. I think it got a commercial break. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, she hit the backbreaker, the Tombstone Piledriver.
Oh, and Taya should probably cut a promo if this feud's going to really kick off at some point.
I'm really hoping this is one of the biggest things with Collision. Now that we have Collision, I hope some of these women's feuds can get room to breathe. Right? If Collision was this week, you know, maybe this happens Wednesday and then we see Taya wrestle the Saturday, you know? And yeah, we need some more from that.
I mean, it is this week, though. I mean,
I'm saying, no.
Oh,
I'm
you
saying
mean like from if it was on yeah. this week of that we're reviewing? I see what you mean. That you could have given her that match or whatever, right? Yeah. I mean, because then it would feel like it felt like
they're gonna have minimally one match on Collision. So,
you know. No. I mean, I don't know. Maybe yeah, it would make sense to run it that soon because it does actually feel like the kind of feud. Because it's not really a feud and they haven't really done a promo or anything that they could get away with putting that on. And that would be a good thing to put on. And it would also establish, are they going to have the TBS title on TNT? I mean, they've done it before. I'm saying, but are they going to do that on the first episode on Collision? I don't know. That would be weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on where they're going to use Statlander. I don't know.
Because if they stick to that now, I kind of hope they don't. I kind of hope both of those titles kind of float, you know what I mean? And we could get a TNT title match on Dynamite still, you know what I mean? Because there's going to be Dynamites where it feels like it needs it, you know? Like,
so
we'll see how that works. I'm just, these are thoughts that I'm having, you know? Like,
so we got a main event, Jay White, back in the main event again, facing Ricky Starks.
King Switch versus Lord Rickard.
This is just a really fun main event. So,
what we happens open up when a Lord Starks takes is, on a king?
Starks is sprinting up the ramp. He's attacking before the bell. The brawling ringside. Starks had a high back drop. Tried to find something under the ring. This allows Jay White to crawl up the ramp. Starks tried to throw him off the ramp. White raked the eyes. White took too long to follow up, so Starks countered with a suplex of his own onto the floor. That was a short-lived advantage, though, because White regained remaining control during the commercial. Pretty much, we get back. White lights up Starks with some chops. Starks wakes up, starts firing off strikes. White crotched him, trying a tornado DDT. He connected a massive superplex, signaled for the Blade Runner. Starks battled out of that with a leaping lariat and the tornado DDT, which was beautifully executed. Full Nelson Slam got Starks to two, tried the Rochambeau. White counters into a Uranagi. Both are trading strikes. Starks leaps for the spear. Jay White counters the spear with a pump kick. Starks then floats over a suplex, hit the spear in the second attempt, hit a Rochambeau. Paul Turner got clipped by pretty much the toe of the White, so he bumped. The guns showed up, laid Starks out with a 310 to Yuma as White connected with a Blade Runner for the win, and then the guns ran away. Post-match, Juice Robinson runs out to celebrate. He's fucking hilarious. Commentary assumes the guns interfered since they have history with FTR, who are currently feuding with Bullet Club Gold. So, I don't know if the guns are new members.
I hope so.
I'm cool with they them. Are. I was really hoping a single star would join, but both Juice and Jay are single stars. So I think they're only going to be this tag for a little bit.
The Ass Boys apparently are only good as a tag team that you bring in and then never use as part of your group. So maybe they can do that for Bullet Club Gold too.
Yeah, they were never really featured in the firm outside of
the first night. Dude, I expected so much more from this story. I thought the two guys, one of them is one of my favorites. One of them is one of my favorites from New Japan and one of the best wrestlers in the world in Jay White. And just Ricky has so much potential and Juice too has been making this fun, but I just feel like it never quite hit where it needed to, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, well, you know what I did notice in this match? There was a sign in the crowd that said Jay White eats corn the long way. I don't know what the hell that means, but that's awesome.
Yeah, bro, what the fuck's that? Leave Jay White alone. I don't know. Don Callis eats hot dogs the long way. I think they said Don Callis eats hot dogs whole, but man.
Yeah, all there right, was a couple of banger signs in this crowd.
So, Rampage time. This was
Rampage, baby.
We open up with Bandito and Lucha Brothers defeat Big Bill, Lee Moriarty, and Ethan Page here. Not really much to talk about in the match. I mean,
there is one thing that we should talk about. Bandito picked up the win with the 21-plex. Hell yeah.
I love that. And I thought Big Bill and Bandito had some nice one-on-ones together.
Bro, Penta popped Big Bill with the fucking Zero Miedo shit, dude. He was just like,
yeah, he
couldn't help it, bro. He's like, okay, that's awesome. When he started doing the little kick. Fucking step, and I can't help it. When he does that shit pops me, too. I'm like, God damn it, Penta, you freak.
So, yeah. I think we need a super kick counter on this match. I don't know how many times a super kick Big Bill, but it's over 10. Yeah, but yeah. The Hardys came out after. they're pretty much telling Chase, you know, or during the match, they told him to wear up his special arm sleeves. Jeff Hardy gifted him. He pulls up the sleeves, and Bandido hit that 21-plex, got the pinball.
Yeah, so they said, this match was scheduled before before Ethan Page's contract got under the control of Matt Hardy. He was like, well, if he has control of the contract, couldn't he just say, but I have control of the contract now, so it doesn't matter whether you scheduled this match. I could yank him from it, because it's my contract, not yours. Like, anyway.
Yeah. QTV segment. They're trying to think of ideas.
Like, imagine an NFL team had a player who had a game scheduled before they got traded, and they had to go play in that game even though they want them on their... You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Yeah, QTV is just pretty much... It's all about them.
Bro, Harley Cameron, chill. Chill!
Yeah, they're getting ready for Collision, and they can't really think of anything to do, so they're sending Powerhouse Hobbs to kill someone. Which indeed he does. He killed.
I mean, there is a couple things in that segment that I do want to collide with, though, and she pointed it out.
Hey, but yeah, Powerhouse Hobbs absolutely fucking squashed this guy. He literally beat the crap out of him. Renee, we jump backstage with Renee. She's interviewing Arn and Wardlow, talking about beating up Brock Anderson. Took the hands of Christian Cage and Luchasaurus. Wardlow promised to make Cage and Luchasaurus pay, and talked about an open challenge he has next week with Jake Hager for the TNT title.
Your favorite.
Fuck that match. But speaking of Wardlow. The title reign continues. Jake Hager and Wardlow, does that do it for anybody?
No, I think it'll be good.
That match is going to fucking suck.
No, it's not. You think
it's
he
gonna,
sucks, and it's because you
it's
don't.
It's going to be it, six
the
minutes.
Same reason. Okay, this is. Okay, if everybody wants to. I'm going to expose Charlie really quickly for the audience. If y'all want to know why me and him have different opinions on the Elite and the BCC, and not that he doesn't appreciate the BCC, he does, but the reason why I look at the Elite a different way than he does is this exact dichotomy right now. Jake Hager is fine.
Jake Hager has not had a single memorable moment in AEW. Every single
match
he has.
It's because, as I've told you multiple times, every time we have a good Jake Hager match, I always tell you this, and you never remember. They never use him after he has a good match. He will come on for 2 weeks to build up a match. They didn't even bring him in this time. He was not seen. He was just given the match. You know what I mean? And
he's going to talk about the hat three times.
Yep.
And then get powerbombed three times.
Okay, the hat's not.
And the match is going
to
be
him over. Leaning into the hat is him trying to get them to use him. And they just will not. So the fact that they have not used him is the entire reason why he has done nothing memorable in AEW. But every match they put him in, he does a good job.
Nothing memorable is not fair, because he has been in some insane multi-man matches in the Inner Circle and JAS. But I'm talking singles matches. It's
because
so
they don't give
me.
Them to him.
Yeah, but he gets opportunities. And
all right,
just...
you know what? I'm going to do it. I wasn't going to do it, but we're going to look at what the last time Jake Hager had a singles match in AEW was. Jake
Go
Hager
for
cage
it.
Match.
And why is he getting a TNT title shot?
Well, I mean,
time.
You can if you want to use that argument, then 90% of the people that had good matches for titles didn't deserve a title match, so we can't use that, you know?
It's just it's so weird to me. I just...
His last match. That's going to show some
Where did this match come from? But yeah, again, no, they said it's an open challenge, so... That's
Dude, his last said. Match, Charlie... All right, his last singles match. I'm looking for a singles match.
It's been a while, right?
It looks like it was in...
I think it was a Rampage
Unless I'm
match.
Not seeing one. It looks like it was Brody King and him at a match back in March.
Yeah. Yeah.
He never gets used. If you go from March until June and you haven't had a match, you're not going to be able to do anything memorable. That's how that works.
Hey, hopefully he proves me wrong. I'm always open to being proven wrong. The Acclaimed to Billy Gunn defeated Serpentico and Helico and Luther. I mean, just straight goofiness, scissoring, you name it. Bowens beat up Luther pretty good. I mean, the Acclaimed to Billy Gunn are always going to be over, you know? So, yeah. What was it? Small ass penises is what Max Caster said SAP really stands for.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
There was something he said about in Helico too, that I can't remember. That was pretty funny.
I don't have it. I don't know.
I can't remember. But anyway, they looked like they were having a blast during this match. That looked like they kept humping the air. It was like a rib they were trying to do on the audience or something.
Lots of goofiness going on here.
They were meeting some goofs.
We then jump to the stage where Renee brings out Jeff Jarrett's crew for an interview. Karen grabbed the mic, demanded Aubrey Edwards come out. Edwards came out with Mark Briscoe.
This fucking whole thing is a nightmare, dude. I am not excited for this at all.
AEW won't sanction a one-on-one match between Edwards and Karen.
Like, why are they doing this, Charlie?
Karen
who smoked too much in the backstage area and thought this was a good idea?
The same person that booked fucking Jake Hager. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You know, the only person that's been added recently that's going to be helping with creative, Charlie. I hate to say it.
No. But, pretty much, yeah, it's going to be the Jarretts and Jay Lethal against Aubrey Edwards, Mark Briscoe, and Papa Briscoe.
I think I'm skipping this match, bro. I think this might be the only AEW match I ever skip.
Nah, bro, you're gonna like it more than Hager Wardlow. I promise.
That is that's insane. That's there's no shot a Papa Briscoe match gets me more excited than a freaking Wardlow.
You're not
versus
gonna pop.
Big Meat
wait,
match.
Is Sanjay Dutt in the match or no? No, he isn't. Ah. That'd have been funny.
Maybe Sanjay Dutt could have pulled it off.
Okay,
all right,
and then our first we get a real wrestling match. Main event, Sky Blue, Nyla Rose, Britt Baker, Mercedes Martinez, four-way for the number one contender for the AEW World Women's
Championship. What happened in this match? I did not it felt like for the match that was the main event, where was this match? It felt like it went over the place.
It was quick too. So we see Toni Storm and Ruby Soho backstage watching the match. Marina Shafir interfered, tried to choke out Martinez. She had to chase her to the back with a kendo stick. Rose then had Martinez hung up in the ropes.
Like, this had all the elements. Young star Sky Blue, really experienced Mercedes Martinez. Nyla Rose, really big heater. Britt Baker, top women's wrestling star. How did this not work?
I thought it worked for what it was, actually.
I did not like this match.
They got the shit out of the way at the beginning. So pretty much, Baker then hits Martinez with a sling blade for a one count. Blue and Baker are exchanging forearms in the middle of the ring. Blue got a near fall after a really sick enziguri. Baker then goes for the lockjaw on Martinez. At this point, Martinez is getting her ass beat. Blue added a half crab. Rose broke up the submission attempt. Blue and Baker hit a double drop kick on Rose. Rose chokeslammed Baker and went for the pin. Martinez breaks that up with a running knee. Baker gave Rose a stomp. Martinez dumped Baker to the floor. Baker pulled Martinez out. Blue then snuck back in the ring, hit Rose with a code blue, and got the surprise, like, literally flash pinfall. So Sky Blue pins Nyla Rose. This match was very, very fast, as you could tell. It was just, I actually couldn't believe it was over when that happened. There's a part of me that thinks they cut, like, 4 minutes out of the match, but they didn't. So, yeah, she teared up after getting the surprise win. I was surprised at the result. Then again, I guess maybe I shouldn't be. I assumed Britt Baker was winning. But,
no, I mean, I did as well, but I also thought the only other person that would win would be Sky, you know?
Yeah, but now you never know. Nyla Rose seems to always get
a title
shot.
I mean, Nyla could get, I mean, it's always the joke, right? Yeah. Nyla gets the first title shot at New Champions, right? But, you know.
Yeah, so. But yeah, former Ring of Honor champion, and Britt and Nyla have both been AEW champions. Neither of them win. It's Sky Blue fucking getting the big opportunity against Toni Storm, who then paints the green L on the monitor. So we just had the Sky
Blue
match.
You know, it's one thing to spray paint the people, but that's a monitor. That's expensive. Like, come
on, bro,
now.
That's going to cost a little dough. Just a quick match. But Sky Blue main event win over Britt
Baker.
I
didn't feel like I ever felt like this match got going. I feel like it was too quick.
I could agree with that. I know what you mean. It was literally over.
And it also didn't feel
fast.
Like there was any big build. Like, they didn't feel like they built any big moves either. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there was no Tower of Death, which they love to do those in the women's match, especially when they got Nyla in there to be the base. You know what I mean? Like, they love to do that. I don't know if they just tried to do something a little too different or if they wanted to try and showcase Sky more because it was her victory. Most women's matches do work for me. This one, for some reason, didn't. It's weird. The ones that don't usually are weirdly, like, I bet if we rewatched this, you'd see what I was saying. Like, I don't think the match was, like, bad. It didn't really ever get me at some point to be like, okay. And I was really shocked, like you said, when Sky won, but not in, like, the good way where I was like, oh my God, Sky won.
I literally
like,
had to rewatch.
Whoa,
I was like,
that's the
I
end of the match?
Something?
Okay.
I thought, like, I missed something. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's it for this week. This is our final week without Collision, guys. So I am pretty excited for next week, where we'll have our full actual brand of shows. So, yeah, next week's episode will be out on a Monday. So it is our good brother Brady. His bachelor party is happening next weekend. So a shout out our former podcast, Good Brother Brady. He might be on. I think he's going to review Forbidden Door with us. So that'll be kind of cool. So we'll see how that.
Yeah, we should actually. I mean, we probably don't need to, but we should work out how that's going to work because you're going to be busy. So I don't know, like, how we're going to record.
We'll do the show. We'll do it Monday next week.
Okay, so, that works.
And then, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm very 100%. Excited to see how this all plays out. We only know one match on Collision. I don't know about you. I'm hoping we'd learn
more. We'll get some announcements, I think, this week, yeah. I would imagine. Maybe.
Any hope for Andrade, other than Will Ospreay? Any hope, like, one-on-one match that's just kind of tickling your brain right now? I mean, Roosh
has been, like, running this guy's faction for a while.
Okay.
Maybe you put them against each other and say, I got to put you down so that I can take control of this faction again.
Fight for leadership?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm in. Miro. Any Miro off the top of your brain, just you want to see
no,
it right
now?
No,
put him against Wardlow. Barry Wardlow.
God, no, we can't just go to a Miro title reign.
Yes.
No. I want Miro Jake Hager. All right.
no, you do not.
Next week in Washington, D.C. You ready for this card? And I repeat, this is the actual fucking dynamite. MJF versus Adam Cole. AEW World Title Eliminator. AEW Women's Championship. Tony Storm versus Sky Blue. TNT champion Wardlow versus Jake Hager. The Elite versus the Blackpool. The Hung Bucks versus the Blackpool Combat Club. Sting, Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, and Keith Lee versus the Mogul Embassy. Our first time ever seeing the four-way of the Mogul Embassy. So I have interest in all those matches. Even Wardlow and Hager, I give a shit, but it is still a title match. So other than that, Any burning thoughts before we jump off for the night?
Harley Cameron can't be making jokes like that. That's just too far. It's you know, honestly, not on my Christian Minecraft server.
Not on my Christian Minecraft server. That is all we heard. I have my Andrade match. Andrade, Daniel Garcia. We'll see you guys next week for the full breakdown.
But
you guys thought that was the end of it?